Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Be seated, church. Good morning. How are we? Everyone doing really well? Tired from the week? Anybody tired? You can raise your hand. It's okay. We're the family of God. You can just own it. Like, we're tired this morning. But have you been blessed by the worship so far?
Yes.
I've been blessed. I love worshiping with you. Last week, a lot of us got to worship together. You heard Pastor Grant speak to that. In this room, through two services, there were over 1,100 people worshiping in this room, over 200 children in kids ministry last week, all of which heard the gospel. Amen? And so much fruit has come from that. You would not believe the conversations that I've had, and I know other pastors, and maybe you have had as well, about people leaning in to the Lord, leaning into church, what all of it's about. Many have said, you know what, we're gonna come back. You know, Easter's one of those Sundays where you go to grandma's church or you visit, you do all these things, and through all that, we know there's going to be a big shuffle of people that day, but in our prayers, we're praying for that one person who is distant from God that would come to know Him as their personal Savior. And so that's what we're praying for, is that people would come to know Jesus, they would get plugged in here or somewhere where they can grow as disciples of Christ. Today marks a new series. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. The name Joseph, then out beside it, I want you to write Finding Hope. Joseph, Finding Hope. And if you got a Bible, I want you to go to Genesis. That's the very first book of the Bible. In the front, I know we're not there much. Go to Genesis, the first book. I want you to go to chapter 37. I just want you to hang out there. We're going to get there in a moment. Genesis chapter 37 is where this story begins to unfold. How many of you are the type of people, type of learner that wants to know context and facts and historical background? Is that you? Raise your hand. If it's not, that's okay, because I'm not, right? But if you are, man, when it comes to a character study, as we look at a character in the Bible, all of those intricate details are really important. When we look at a character study from the Bible, it's important to know context. It's important to know the family. It's important to know generations past and generations that will follow this particular character. It's so important to know all the details about who it is that you're studying. When we do that, I believe we gain a more full knowledge of what God is doing in the life of that character. And Joseph is no different. So what I want to do this morning is hopefully share with you a little bit about his life before we dive into, quote, the sermon, okay? So what I want you to learn about his life, it's going to be on the screen. If you're a note taker, you can follow along. There's some fun facts about Joseph. The first thing that I want you to notice about his story is this, is that Joseph's story is the longest in Genesis. If you don't know about the book of Genesis itself is a big book, but Joseph's story recorded in the book of Genesis is the longest, longer, 25% longer than that of Father Abraham. Who knows who Father Abraham is? Man, he's a big deal. Like, Father Abraham is a really big deal, but there's more written about Joseph than Abraham in Genesis. I think we can gain from that, that the Spirit, church, you hearing me, that the Spirit of God wants us to know about the story of Joseph. The second thing that I want you to notice about his story is that it's one of the greatest pictures of Jesus that we have in the Old Testament. The story of Joseph from start to finish is one of the greatest pictures of Jesus that we have in the Old Testament. If I hope, church, hear me out. I hope it's no secret that the Bible, this book, is nothing but one giant story pointing to our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the story of Joseph, it's his life that points, gives us a picture of Jesus Christ. I believe it's one of the greatest in the Old Testament that does that. His story points to Jesus. The next thing that I want you to notice about the life of Joseph is that he experienced Romans 8:28 firsthand. We read it in church. We know it. Many of us know it by heart. It reads, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." What we'll see throughout the story of Joseph is that God's hand was on him from start to finish. He lived out Romans 8:28 firsthand. And the final thing that I want you to notice about the life of Joseph is this, that he demonstrated constant faith. When we look at Scripture, we see character after character after character, many of which the stories can be a tremendous blessing. Many of the stories that we read can be a warning. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see people that God wants to use, and they're a little stubborn. You ever been stubborn when God wants to use you? And what we see in the Old Testament is, man, when they're stubborn, when they're obstinate, when they're like, no, God, man, he does something crazy to get their attention. I don't know, like have them swallowed up by a whale, right? We see all those crazy stories in the Old Testament. But what we see about the story of Joseph is this, is that his faith was constant. That, man, God didn't really have to do much at all to get his attention. God didn't have to punish him. God didn't have to do anything to make Joseph realize that God was good and in control. He had the life that was full of faith. Now, I want to warn you, church, coming off of this last point four here about the story of Joseph, is you may be tempted to elevate Joseph. Don't elevate Joseph's faith. Joseph is not Jesus. Joseph's pointing to Jesus. Don't look down on your own faith when compared to that of Joseph. God was using him for his own purposes, right? And your story's different, but what we can do, we can look at the story of Joseph and go, wow, he was a man just like you and me. And if he can do it, I can do it. Like if God can use him, God can use me. So through this whole process, this whole series of looking at the story of Joseph, I want you to be encouraged by his faith. Don't look at your own and go, man, I'm terrible. I'll be honest with you, I have a tendency to do that when I study Scripture. I'm like, man, I'm nowhere near this guy. And that's the point. That's the point, so that God can draw you closer to himself. So we're going to learn a lot about the story of Joseph. And in that story, we're going to learn a lot about God and who he is and how he interacts with his children. But I want to pose this question. And this may be right up your alley right now in your season of life. You do not have to raise your hand, okay? But are you dealing with some dysfunction in your life? Are you dealing with some chaos in your life? Is this a season of life for you that feels like a giant shipwreck? What do we do in life when we are faced with dysfunction and chaos? And can I be honest? Every person in this room is dealing with dysfunction. Every person in this room has dealt with dysfunction, is dealing with it now, or is going to deal with some sort of dysfunction. And I need the people of God to unify in an amen on that. Amen. Listen to me, church. It's all right. It's life. We live in a sinful state. We are going to deal with chaos. We are going to deal with the result of sin. That's the life in which we live. But in that dysfunction, I need you to hear me. I need you to hear my words. In that dysfunction, we've got to be able to find hope. And I think when we look at the story of Joseph, we can find hope through his story of chaos. Do y'all remember the event of the Hurricane Katrina? Do you remember that? Man, I got to thinking about the story of Katrina this past week, and I was like, yeah, that was like 5 years ago. And then you look and you're like, man, that was like 20 years ago. Make you feel old. It was in high school. Man, it's crazy how fast time gets by. The Hurricane Katrina, that was a wild time, wasn't it? What a disaster it was down there in New Orleans. I want to show a picture of the levee break there in New Orleans. The hurricane was bad, brought a lot of flooding, but what made the disaster even more disastrous was that the levee broke. What was that the levee that was designed for protection for the city of New Orleans gave way and let all the floodwaters pour in. Do you remember the helicopter footage of that? Crazy to think about. You may not know this about the levee breaking, but there was so much research and articles written about that levee breaking that somebody had to be blamed, right? When something bad happens, somebody's got to take the blame. A lot of research was done, and they found that when the civil engineers drew up the plans and it began to take its shape, the levee I'm talking about, that the soil, on the levee you see above the ground, but there's so much underneath that takes place to prepare the levee. And it was suspect even then, as the levee was being prepared, civil engineers have it in their journals, that the soil that they placed at the bottom of the levee was suspect even in the formation. They said, we're not quite sure about this. They made notes. You can read articles about this. But they built the levee anyway. A project that was supposed to take 13 years was on its 50-plus year of completion. Boy, the citizens of Saline County know about that, don't we? My goodness. Know all about it. When that levee broke, it was on its 50-plus year. It was only 85% complete. But storm after storm and flood after flood came in those 50 years. And guess what? It did its job until it didn't. And when it broke, the research, the things they found out was that its formation stages, you hearing me? In its formation stages, there were flaws. And through time, the flaws were revealed, and chaos and disaster unfolded. Well, I'm telling you a story about the levee that broke. You can take that off the screen. Is that for so many of us, the dysfunction and the chaos, the heartache, the pain, the disaster in which we are living can go back to the formation stages of some generation. That now we are feeling the effects of someone's sin and we're living in chaos. We're living in dysfunction. And so many times when dysfunction happens, it's hard for us to see the bright side of things. It's hard for us to see that how can this be fixed? How can there be any hope in the middle of this situation? You see, we're paying the price for the chaos of someone else's sin that happens so often. It was no different for Joseph. What I want to do is begin reading his story. There's no way today that we can read the entire story of Joseph on week one. But what I want you to do in your own time is I want you to read the complete story of Joseph during our time together in this series. It'll help you. But what I want to do today is give a broad overview of his life and the dysfunction that he came from and how he found hope. Because I think if we really look at his life and see where he came from, it would be really easy for us to say, wow, he should have just stayed in the dysfunction, that there was no hope for him. But if you look at his life, you can see he found hope. He didn't let the dysfunction, the sins of generations previous, alter his life. He found hope. So we're going to read just 8 verses out of chapter 37, and it's only a glimmer of his story of dysfunction. Let's read it together, 1 through 8, chapter 37. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Little brother syndrome. You have a little brother? I was one, and I did this very same thing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." Boy, that's a way to make them happy, isn't it? His brothers responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. If we were to continue to read, especially in chapter 37, you would see that the story quickly went downhill from there. His brothers despised what was happening to Joseph. And because of all that was happening to Joseph and not happening to them, the hatred for him began to grow in their heart. And ultimately, what you'll see in chapter 37 is that his brothers attempted to kill him, but their guilty consciences took over. Instead, they sold him to slavery. That's what you'll see. Pretty terrible story, really full of dysfunction. Do you feel better about your situation now? Maybe a little bit? No, Pastor. Let me read for you everything that we just read in a synopsis. I don't know if you fully grasp. I need you to fully grasp the dysfunction that he was in. It'll make you greatly appreciate how God used him. Listen to this. He had three stepmothers, 10 stepbrothers, one full brother, a stepsister, all living under the same roof. Could you imagine? Jerry Springer would blush at that. Remember that? It's crazy the dysfunction this was. His father, Jacob, though generally a godly man, embraced polygamy of his time. And because of this, having multiple wives and multiple children with wives, can you imagine the jealousy and the chaos that came from that? Could you imagine that home? Happy Thanksgiving. Gracious. And Jacob was a passive parent. We see that. He was a passive parent that showed favoritism. It was his passivity and his favoritism that ruined his son's life. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And what we see here is that Joseph's brothers turned out to be incredibly evil and immoral. This was the life that he was living. He was 17 years old at the time. He could see what was around him. He could see the dysfunction that he was living in. He could see that, you know what, Dad's not really doing what Dad should be doing. My house is chaotic. Does my father love me like he should? Does my mother love me like she should? Like, is this really how brothers and sisters ought to interact with each other? Is this really how life should be? Can you imagine the dysfunction? Now, what I want you to do for a moment is think about your own chaos. Maybe the dysfunction, the chaos that you brought in with you today. And think about how in your own life, the dysfunction, the chaos, the season that you are perhaps in right now, has the potential to define your life. What we'll see about Joseph is that the circumstances never defined him. He was always able to find hope. Does that intrigue you at all? Does that make you scratch your head a little bit? Like, how could somebody that had this type of chaos, this type of home life, this type of dysfunction, how did he make it out of there? Not only make it out of there, but he thrived. Like, God used him to do incredible things. How did that happen? If you're a person this morning that needs hope, like you're really trying to find hope in your season, I want you to write this down. Today is for you. The first thing that I want you to write down about the story of Joseph and what we can learn from it is this, is that he acknowledged that God had a plan. If you're in the midst of chaos, if you're in the midst of dysfunction, whether it's because of something you did or it's because of something that someone else did, but you find yourself in chaos, I need you to write this down and I need you to believe it, that God has a plan for your life. You would be shocked, church, at the people that are following Jesus that do not understand, that have not believed, that cannot comprehend that God has a plan for their life. They're wandering. And when chaos, when dysfunction ensues, it throws their life all out of sorts because they are not grounded in what God has for them. What will we see in the story of Joseph, time and time again, all this is going to unfold in the weeks to come. But what we can see right now is that Joseph was convinced that God had something for him. You can go back to verse 5 and you can see the dream that he had. He was convinced that God was going to do something in his life. Do you have the same conviction? In the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your, let's say it like this, because this may be where you're at, in the middle of your heartache. In the middle of your heartache, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Or are you looking at your circumstance going, there's no way that God is in the middle of this. There's no way that God can do anything in my circumstance. I promise you, church, he can and he will. You need to believe that God has a plan for your life. If you remember, sermon series we did several months ago, we talked about that God's design for your life is not dysfunction. This previous series that we have, the question series, man, we talk about that God has a plan for your life. It's not dysfunction, that God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. And I need you to believe that. But I get it. When chaos ensues, when dysfunction comes your way, it's hard to believe that. Joseph never lost sight that God had a plan for his life. Do you remember the movie called Rudy? Don't start the chant. Don't. What an inspiring movie of a guy who was totally convinced that he was going to play football for the Fighting Irish. He was a small guy in stature, worked his tail off. Then finally, do you remember the scene towards the end of the movie? Man, he got his chance. Like, he finally got in the game. He never gave up. He was convinced that he was going to play. The same was true for Joseph in his story. He was convinced that God had a plan for his life. Do you have the same conviction, child of God? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? I know it's easy to say. You can come in here, you can clap, you can shake your head, and you're like, yeah, but do you really believe it? Do you believe that God has something for you? Jeremiah 29:11, I know it's simple, I know it's cliche, but it is powerful, and it's a promise of God. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Do you believe that, church? They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a what, church? Hope. I need you to believe it. But I totally get it. When dysfunction comes at you, like a levee breaking and water pouring in, it's really hard to see that God has a plan. But that's precisely when you need to hang on to that very promise. You need to cling to it, that God has a plan for your life. God was there in the midst of Joseph's dysfunction, and he's there in the midst of yours, and he's got a plan for you, which leads right into the second one. It's oh so important, that Joseph had perspective. He had the proper perspective in his trial. Listen to this. Not only did he acknowledge that God had a plan, hear me out, he acknowledged God. He acknowledged God. 1 Peter 4, let's put some New Testament context on it. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. It says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Come again. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. One of the most difficult things you can do is counsel someone that's in the midst of heartache, pain, and dysfunction. It's really tough. But one thing that I cling to, and one thing that I share, one thing that I preach to those that are dealing with struggles, is that perhaps in the middle of your trial, in the midst of your dysfunction, in the midst of your pain, heartache, you name it, whatever it is this. You hanging on to this? Is that God is teaching you something in the middle of your trial that you could not learn any other way. That God is going to use the dysfunction. If you let him, remember, we got to acknowledge he has a plan. And then we got to have the proper perspective in the trial. That God is going to use it to teach us something that we would not learn any other way. And listen to me, church. When that perspective enters your brain, you can rejoice. When that perspective enters your heart, you can say, thank you, God, for the hope that I have in Jesus. That the trial, that the dysfunction, that the chaos, that the pain and the heartache will not define me. It will not break me. This is not my life. My life is hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what you hang on to. But you have to have the right perspective. You have to have the proper perspective when you enter into the dysfunction, when you enter into the trial, when it comes your way. What we read in Genesis chapter 39 is that he's already been sold into slavery and he's at Potiphar's house. And the Word of God says this, is that in everything that Joseph encountered, he succeeded because God's hand was on him. God's hand was on him. He had always acknowledged God in everything that he went through. He had the proper perspective. Child of God, do you have, maybe you're in the situation right now, do you have the proper perspective in your trial? Are you believing with all your heart that in the midst of the trial, God is doing something in your life? If you don't have that perspective, the trial will win. The circumstance will win. It'll break you. You have to hang on to the fact that God has something in store for you. You have to. Then, and only then, when you have that perspective, you can say what Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20. We've read it before in here together. But he says this to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. You may be looking at your dysfunction. Perhaps you're like the levee and there was something in the formation stages generations ago that's caused nothing but heartache for you now. You can look at that situation and say, you know what? That was intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. That situation was designed by the evil one to destroy me, but God, you intended it for good. I'm not going to let the situation overwhelm me. I'm going to acknowledge that God has a plan. I'm going to have an eternal perspective in the middle of the trial, and God is going to grow me, and God is going to use me in the trial. You have to believe that, child of God. That is how I believe Joseph entered, all kinds of scenarios. Let's think about it real briefly. I know we haven't read it, but let me paraphrase the story for you. His brothers were jealous. They threw him in a hole. They sold him to slavery. He was in prison, but he didn't stay there. Or he was in slavery, but he didn't stay there. Something worse, he got thrown into prison. But guess what? He didn't stay in prison. He came out of prison, and he ultimately became one of the rulers of Egypt. Like each scenario in which he encountered, he always had a proper perspective. I mean, he always knew God had a plan for his life, and he didn't let the situation overwhelm him. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your scenario is. I don't know the level of your dysfunction, but I need you to believe this, child of God. That God is going to use it to make you look more like Jesus. And with that, you can find hope even, you hearing me? Even in the middle of your dysfunction, you can find hope. The next thing that I want you to write down is this. Is in all of these stories that we're going to read about Joseph, is that he chose wisdom before action. In each situation, in each chaotic, dysfunctional environment that he found himself in, he always chose wisdom before he acted. I'm thinking in particular of the story at Potiphar's house, when that evil woman was trying to tempt him in sexual temptation. And he says, no, I'm not going to fall prey to that because it would be a sin against God. And I have to imagine in this particular moment in his life, which, by the way, that's going to be a whole week that we're going to talk about in 3 weeks, but I have to think about this particular situation. He was thinking about his own home life. He was thinking about his father and his many stepmothers. He was thinking about the chaos that unfolded because of unwise decisions. He was thinking about his father's favoritism, his father's passivity that ultimately got him thrown in a hole. And he was like, you know what, I'm not going to repeat that. I'm not going to stay in the dysfunction. I'm going to be different than my father. A word to parents right now. I need moms and dads to tune in. You may be dealing with some dysfunction of your parents or grandparents, but hear me out. The dysfunction does not have to continue with you. You can stop it. He was looking at his own life and going, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that parent. I'm not going to be that guy. Dysfunction stops with me. He was wise before he acted. The whole reason that this story of Joseph unfolded was because of poor choices of his dad. Dads, I need you to tune in. Your poor choices, you hearing me? Will affect your children. Not only your children, but potentially your grandchildren. And so on and so on. Make sure that in the middle of the dysfunction, you choose wisdom, godly wisdom, before you act. Every scenario that Joseph found himself in, he chose to be wise before he acted. Not just the wisdom that comes from man, but a much greater wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3. 5-6. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. I'm convinced, church, that something very similar was written on Joseph's heart. He believed it. You can choose to entertain the dysfunction. You can choose to give in to it. You can choose to carry it on. Or you can choose to be wise. You can choose to break the cycle. You can choose to pause and think and pray and lean into godly wisdom before you continue to act. And I find such hope from the story of Joseph that in every situation, this is what he did. He was wise. So parents, strong warning. I'm begging you. Be wise in how you act. Be wise in what you do. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord and put a stop to the dysfunction. You can do it. You can do it. Joseph found hope. He was wise before he acted. So I need you to do this, church, in the midst of your dysfunction, when the levee broke and chaos is filling your life. You need to acknowledge that God has a plan for you. And you really need to believe it. And then as the fiery trial comes your way, you need to have a proper godly perspective that God is going to grow you into the image of His Son in the midst of the trial. And you need to be wise before you act. If we do these things, I believe we can have success like we see Joseph have. God will honor that. And that's what we want. Amen? That's what we want with our life. So I know this was a brief summary of his life. We got some background context, and then we started to dive into each of these stories. I need you, church, to spend some time reading the life of Joseph. And we're going to dive into it headfirst next week. Let me pray for you. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it brings. And God, we praise you for characters like Joseph, who are not equal to your son Jesus by a long stretch of the imagination. But we're totally convinced that you had a plan for him, that desired to be obedient to you every step of the way, and you blessed them. So God, I pray that as we look at the story of Joseph, that we would find hope each and every week as we look at his story, what he went through, how you got him out of it, and how you continue to use him each and every step of the way. And I pray for us this morning, Lord, that in our dysfunction, in our chaos, whatever it may be, that you would use us, that you would grow us, that you would help us to find hope even in the midst of chaos. We love you and we praise you for your son, Jesus. And we ask everything in his precious and holy name.